This is the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Billy Branham is on a mandate from God with a special message. It was preached in Houston, Texas under a strong anointing. It is an old message with a fresh new insight on the authority of the believer and what it means to be seated together with Christ Jesus. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
And let's start with Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Here we are, back to those principalities and powers again. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind, is what it says, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We are told to think on those things that are above, where Christ is raised from the dead at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power, and we are there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I like this that he said in page 27. It's not 27 out there in that little pamphlet that you can get, but you can find it in there. He says, do we believe that God hath quickened us together with Christ and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Do we believe it? If we do, then he said, our reaction to it will be a fervent. And he gives this prayer. Lord, I accept thy gracious word. I believe that thou hast thus wrought for me. In humble faith, I do now take my seat in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus at thy right hand. Teach me how to fulfill this sacred ministry, how to exercise the authority which thou hast entrusted to me. Train me day by day that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ, so that in me thy purpose of the ages may be fulfilled. You see his purpose for us to rule and reign from there. If we are walking in the Spirit, our normal life is in the heavenlies. Shelley, I want you to read that Kenneth Hagin quoted from E.W. Kenyon in his book, The Name of Jesus, please. To secure the consciousness of this, he says, there must be the daily acceptance of the fact. Let us morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ, as suggested in the previous paragraph, and return thanks to God for all that it implies. Now, when I came in and was baptized in the Holy Ghost, 1967, and the Lord led me to 1029 North Utica, where Brother Hagin, Mom and Papa Goodwin, who pastored over here at Pasadena, those old-time saints of God, and I think that's the house where Brother Osteen received the Holy Ghost under their ministry. And I came over, and I want to tell you, thank God I came in the fire. And thank God I came in under those folks. And even though there came to be kind of a thing in the body of Christ that went around that the church was going to be, when Jesus came, we were going to be down and living in a rabbit hole somewhere. And I'm telling you right now, you still hear prophecies like that. And that we're going to have to store up food. And you could order from them, from the main magazine of the Charismatic Move, you could order a $200 supply of survival food. And I was preaching somewhere recently, and a friend of mine said, "Billy, I've still got $10,000 worth in my basement." From the 60s. You're supposed to get a kerosene stove, and then you're supposed to have you'd be in a cave somewhere, and then the Lord would come, and you'd barely escape. Well, I don't know what they think we're going to do with all the survival food. Somebody comes there. Are we going to shoot them and not give them a bite? I don't know. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, when I came in, we had this little lady, Sister Grace. I promised my mother after I got filled with the Spirit that I said, Mother, don't worry. She was kind of concerned. She wasn't from the Pentecostal side of the family. And I said, I'm not going to take their error. I'm not going to wash my makeup off. I'm not going to put my hair long in a bun. I promise you, I won't listen to any woman preachers either. Because our denomination didn't go for that. Well, they brought in this Sister Grace on Sunday. And she started telling about a vision she'd had. And in that vision, she saw the church down, prostrate, weak. And she just down, hell down. But then she saw like a veil. And behind the veil, she saw the glory world. And she saw faces pressing through the veil, and they pressed their way through. And then she saw men and women and of mature sons of God on the earth. She saw them pass through the veil and get some glory and bring it back, and they didn't die to do it. And the two groups amalgamated and became one and began ministering the glory to that body. And that body stood up on its feet and became a glorious church. Hallelujah. And thank God, I came in under people that believe that in the last, and I've always heard it, and I've always looked for it, that at the last, the church will rise up and be the glorious church. Now, there is an enemy who doesn't want us to be. And I've seen some things that we have to do about that. And we're going to do it together. Shall we read that, what Brother Hagin? Stand up and face the people and... This is a book, Brother Hagin's book on the name of Jesus. I did this book. This was the last book I did for Brother Hagin. And they took it out for a while, but now they've re-released it. And he quoted a lot of E.W. Kenyon on the subject. So read that, what you're reading to me today.
Okay. He's in context, he's talking about we need to get to that place of an unconscious faith in God, an unconscious faith in the Word of God. And he talks about how faith is normal and natural to children of loving parents who provide for them. They don't worry about the next meal. They don't stop playing to come in and say, "Mama, I know that if I ask for a piece of bread, you'd give it to me." These children automatically know that, and they act on it. They exercise an unconscious faith. We need to get to that place of an unconscious faith in God. An unconscious faith in the Word. Then he quotes Kenyon. Quote, "I believe the hour will come when large companies of believers will live this simple life of faith. Live it unconsciously. Live it daily. They will live in this upper realm."
That's what I wanted you to hear.
"Where they will see in the name of Jesus the fullness of the authority and power that was in Christ when he walked the earth."
Hallelujah. Unquote. They will live in an upper realm. We've been living in a lower realm. We've been living down there because Satan wanted us to live down there. He didn't want us to come up higher. He didn't want us to keep our mind on this thought that we are seated there with Him in the heavenlies. But now we're going to come up to it even again. As I said, we've seen these things, but we're going to come to a consciousness and an unconsciousness of living there. Bless the Lord. Now, I want before we look at that a little more, I want to tie up some loose ends. And I want to say to you that if you have not been here all the times, the four sessions, the tapes are available. Is that right? And you should get them and listen to them and meditate and feed on these things. And you should also pick up that copy of the pamphlet out there and go over it and sit before it daily. Sit before those truths. I want to talk to you one thing. This is basic and we learned it years ago, and it's the difference between authority. We're talking about authority of the believer and power. Turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Say glory.
Glory.
Do you feel more authoritative?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We don't go by feelings, but I mean, do you sense that? One thing that you need to know is we're talking about authority of the believer. In the King James Bible, they translate two words as power, two Greek words. The Greek word exousia and the Greek word dunamis. They translate them both as power. One of them, exousia, is authority. Dunamis is power, like dynamite power. In this verse, you can see how they've done that. Luke 10, 19. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The first word, power, is the Greek word exousia and means authority. He literally said, and it should have been translated, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So the dunamis of the enemy. So what we have is authority. A good way that Macmillan described it and Brother Hagin described it is a traffic policeman. You could stand at a great intersection. Let's say the lights went out. They have gone out in Springfield by ice storms. And so the intersections, you know, have become places you've got to know what to do. And oftentimes they'll put a traffic cop up there. And that traffic cop could even be, in these days, a little woman that doesn't weigh up soaking wet 110.
Thank you for listening to today's radio broadcast. To receive this new CD series entitled Authority of the Believer and the newly released book Authority of the Believer by J.A. Macmillan, please call our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or write us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. When ordering, please mention the call letters of this radio station. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom.